You are listening to Wicked Psychotherapists, a podcast where two psychotherapists show you that taking care of and learning about mental health doesn't have to be wicked hard.
Hi, everyone. This is Tanya.
Hi, this is Erin, and welcome to Wicked Psychotherapists.
Yes, welcome, guys. So today, this week, we are going to be talking about a pretty fun topic. We're going to be discussing music and how it affects identity, correlates with mental health, all that good stuff. We thought we'd be able to throw it back to the 80s and 90s, and because that's Erin and I, that's our heyday. We love it. We always go back to that. As you well know, if you are an avid listener.
Sorry, anyone who likes anything current. But
yeah, I don't really know anything current, honestly. But
I try. I do try. I try to listen to some stuff current.
I can't say I do. But I don't know. I'll hear something every once in a while and be like, oh, that's cool, and follow that up. But it's probably not super cool. So
2000 was your current.
That really is current to me. I'm like, oh, wow. I'm like, in 2000.
Wow, what did Backstreet Boys just put out?
Oh my God. Speaking of which, have you seen that Backstreet Boys and NSYNC they've been in these commercials. I've seen it like when I watch Hulu, and I don't pay for the ad free. So I see commercials on there, and I think it's on Hulu, and it's like Backstreet Boys and Hulu and NSYNC have commercials on there where they're like singing the song, and it's for like, I don't remember what it's for. Is it for like a phone company or something like that? Like cell phone company? But it's just so bizarre to see, because they're like playing up some pun having to do with like some lyric to their song. And it's just weird. It's just weird. You feel like, oh, wow, they're like kind of relevant again, but in a very different way. So
in a very 40s plus way.
Yeah. And then seeing them and you're like, man, I'm old. So yeah,
but that's all the people who probably listened to New Kids on the Block seeing Marky Mark and Donnie Wahlberg as actors and growing up, and I don't know.
Oh my God. There's a concert not too far from where I am in August, and I'm thinking of going for New Kids on the Block because I just am curious and I really kind of just want to go. Again,
rip out your jean jacket. And I remember all the kids that were like I was not obsessed with New Kids on the Block, but I remember all the kids.
I wasn't
like,
really either. It was just the time. Yeah. I don't know.
It's always like a few people who always seemed a little weirder, like a little just something a little off. Like that was like middle school for me.
They were all about the young one, the young blonde one. What was it? Joey? I think his name is Joe or Joey or something. They were like, and I was like, ugh, you just seemed gross to me. But I don't know, my older sisters were like into New Kids, and I just was like, it's just like a memory for me. I don't know, I wasn't super into them. I think I do recognize some songs, but
I wonder if New Kids was as big in non-New England states at that time, because
I doubt it,
because NSYNC and NSYNC and what do you call it, what's the other one, NSYNC and
Backstreet Boys,
yeah, because they're more Orlando-ish, right? Yeah. So I wonder, another day, another study. Well, I'll have to figure that out.
Yeah.
Anyone who knows the boy band controversies, or who, you know, like if it's just regional, probably not just regional, but I feel like New Kids on the Block probably had a bigger push at first in New England.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure, being like Boston based. And yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I do have a tale, if anyone's listening, if they know this, if they are aware of this, but I had some friend whom I worked with who would, I believe it was in like around 2008 or so, 2007-8, where they would go out in Orlando and they would see some members of the Backstreet Boys and would, you know, kind of party with them a little bit.
Oh, wow.
You know, like nothing. I mean, just literally just dance. And they said they were really nice and everything. So they were definitely big around Orlando, but yeah, that was when I was living in Orlando. So, yeah. So, okay. So for today, let's move on to talking about some music and its, you know, kind of how it relates to mood and mental health. But overall, just we're going to talk about some throwbacks, because that's what we do.
Kind of fun. And music kind of ties you into a lot of different things. And especially if you grew up with music or, you know, depending on how your family was felt about music and how it incorporated it in things.
Absolutely. That's definitely a kind of your first introduction. And us being youngest children, we had, you know, everybody kind of putting it out there for us, and we both had that same experience.
Yeah, I feel like I got exposed to a lot of different things at younger ages than most people probably did.
Yeah, yeah. Our siblings were, you know, that was the 80s and 90s. Yeah, they did.
Yeah, most people don't know who the Who are in third grade or whatever.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, you had some cool influences. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of older siblings.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm curious, when you were a teenager, and what was she into for music, and what kind of state did you see yourself as looking back?
What do you define as teenage?
High school era, you know, maybe 14, 15, 16, 17.
Okay. So like middle school, I was like really focused. Like I was more like I don't know if metal. I really liked Anthrax, and I forgot last night that I liked Motley Crue. But in high school, I became more aware of like more punk rock, and I don't know, more, I guess, like not goth, but like I liked like The Cure and The Smiths, and I loved The Clash, Bad Religion, just kind of like angry-esque type of things. But then also loved the Indigo Girls. And then flipped, I liked 70s music and The Doors, Grateful Dead. I had a very strange, I don't know, eclectic. I had an eclectic taste.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's actually pretty cool.
But
a lot of different influences.
Yeah, and it was very, I don't know if it was influenced mostly because my mom was a huge Beatles person, and very Beatles and Bad Company. She really liked Bad Company. And so I don't know if that was influenced, but I really tend to be drawn to, I don't know, I just always liked a little bit of the heavier stuff, I think. What about you? What about you at, I guess, high school, like freshman, so-ish?
I would say I was more drawn to, like, I had a very narrow focus because I was very much focused on, like, academic work. I was not super focused on music. I couldn't be bothered by it. But the area that I was drawn to was kind of more Lilith Fair-ish. Mm-hmm. Like I was just into Sarah McLachlan, Indigo Girls, Ani DeFranco, Tori Amos. You know, I was really, and like kind of more like that feminist, angry, like rock, because I was like feeling some type of way about stuff and thought like, oh yeah, people need to hear that truth and they're speaking that truth. And
yeah,
so I really kind of was drawn to that. And I would say really, when I look back on it, really sad, depressing music, like just real, like I can't even listen to some of it now because it's so like
same, like I loved 10,000 Maniacs and Natalie Merchant and all of that.
Yeah,
any of the girl groups were just amazing, and they still are amazing. I can still listen to those all day long.
Yeah,
but yeah, some of the really depressing stuff that I think I tend to listen to a lot when I was a teenager, because it's like you're depressed or you're feeling sad, better lift me up, or then just put something that everyone else is really sad and talking about being depressed and sad and wear black and just, yeah, that was a lot of my go-to when I was feeling sad. It's just, let me put on something ultra sad, which is really not helpful.
Yeah, it was definitely, I think, at least for our generation, a lot of people that did this, they would, if they were feeling sad, they go towards sad music to feel, oh, this is company, like this is acknowledgement of it. But then it ultimately, mood wise, it probably makes you way more depressed than you kind of started out with, because you're kind of just reinforcing all that.
Oh, yeah.
Those feelings, you know,
because you're probably listening.
Teenagers, it feels like it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the right thing to do, you know,
because you're probably listening to it in your room with your door shut, with your lights off. At least this is me. This is Aaron's bedroom in the 80s and 90s. But yeah, just listening to the music just on repeat and just thinking about whatever conversation you just had or breakup or bad grade you got or whatever else is making you feel these things. And you hear this person or this artist or this band singing the same things that you're feeling, but maybe in a different way. And it just feels familiar and feels safe, and I don't know, it just feels comforting at the moment of having someone else feel that same sadness, but keeping it on repeat, which I think I probably would just hear the same song or same thing over and over, just probably was not very helpful for me, I know, emotionally.
Yeah, I think that's something we kind of learn, that kind of emotional awareness we learn as we get older. I definitely knew about it with other people my age and kind of see it with some younger-ish people that it's kind of an awareness of, you know, this can actually exacerbate some of these feelings. It's kind of, you know, it does make sense that you want, you know, someone that kind of understands you and to acknowledge those feelings, but it overall probably makes things a little bit, you know, kind of feel like you're staying in that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that can definitely affect your mood. I definitely would do that. I always felt like I had to go towards kind of people that I felt like were on the outskirts that nobody else was listening to, because I always felt on the outskirts. And I was like, well, I'm not going to relate to like this band because, you know, that's what that group listens to. And they like, they may think they're outcasts, but they all have a big group and they're all like excluding people. So to me, they were not the outcasts. I was the outcast, you know?
Yeah, no, which is true. It's interesting. I mean, that's a different story or whatever, but yeah, so often people feel like they're being nonconformist, but they are conforming because they're all in this group of thinking alike. But I think that's like with anything in life. And, you know, because you tend to be attracted to people who like the same thing, but then you also feel like you're all very individual, but you're, you know, like kind of aren't. And then they're excluding people who don't look or think like them or like the same type of music sometimes.
Yeah, I definitely, it was strange because I just remember, you know, people who were like, for example, like into ska punk, and they would wear kind of those, you know, at least when I was in high school, they were like really, you know, kind of those long, really extra long jeans that like flared at the bottom, or like pants. And they would wear like, you know, dark clothes and like kind of goth ska, like, I don't know, emo, kind of like a mixture, or maybe like there'd be different groups around that. And I just remember thinking, I feel almost as excluded, if not more so, by them when I would like try to just kind of talk to them, or when I would walk by and I would just get this look and I would think like, wow, I felt already judged by that group. And I was thinking like, I feel like such an outcast myself. And I don't know if they just maybe saw me as like someone who just follows the rules and is just like, you know, academic. And so I just kind of couldn't be an outcast, or maybe they just didn't think about it at all. I don't know.
Yeah. But or maybe they're just jerks. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, or maybe I was highly sensitive and just, you know, I just remember thinking like they are considered the outcast, but to me, they're people that they have people. They have that support. Yeah. They have people. They didn't seem like outcasts to me. Like I felt like the outcast, you know. I was like, I don't have clothes that are similar. And it was strange to me because people would say things about like their clothes and like, oh, if they're dressing like this, it means they're poor. And I'm thinking like those things at Hot Topic cost like $70. Mm-hmm. Like that's not, I don't know. I was like, I'm wearing the same shirt 3 times a week, you know, like it just was really odd to me, the dynamics and like how that represented music. But it was really about so much more, I think, you know, like the dynamics of social groups.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you must have had a rich school, because I think most people I hung out with like that listen to that type of music, which is going to like Army Navy surplus stores and stuff, or Salvation Army.
And maybe they did. I mean, like, I don't know, but I know that there were some people that, I mean, I don't know. I guess it was kind of more of like an image thing as opposed to, you know, but it was like made to look like, oh, this is something that we don't care about this, you know, clothing, but
we're putting a lot of effort into it.
Yeah. And it was a lot of money. I mean, like, I don't know. It seemed like it to me. So, and I definitely didn't go to like a rich school. I would say there were some people there that had money, but there was a diverse, I think, kind of line. Mm-hmm. But it was hard to tell, you know, like with those kind of factors, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, music was definitely, it was definitely kind of something that I think I would stay away from if I saw like that type of group. And I felt like, oh, wow, I feel kind of excluded. I don't feel like I would be a part of them. So I wouldn't even go and explore that type of music.
Okay.
You know, like that was my reasoning, which is kind of strange looking back on that. But that's the way I felt.
But that's interesting, though, because it's for you, it might have felt a little almost like, I don't want to say mainstream, but there's something about it that kind of turned you off where, you know, also, it sounds like the people in the group were just a little off-putting to you by turning, giving you dirty looks or saying things to you. It's so you never got to experience ska. And so that's unfortunate. You should listen to some. I mean, it definitely, that is good music to listen to when you're feeling sad or depressed or something. That might be the opposite. It might be a good lift me up for you.
I'm sure. I mean, I've probably listened to, since I, you know, past high school, I was, I can just kind of explore and listen to whatever I want. But I think I just kind of had a very, and this was definitely probably my own mindset. I probably just thought, well, this is the music I listen to. If I listen to that, then I'm kind of like that person. Like I have that weird association there.
Yeah.
And that really is obviously not true. You know, it's not accurate. It's not a good way to do that. But that was how I kind of categorized like what it was that I would listen to or not listen to, you know. So, and, you know, I'm kind of wondering now with, you know, I definitely feel like I've absolutely evolved since then. You know, like I definitely will check out whatever just interests me, anything in any way. But I still do hold to like if something is super popular, like Taylor Swift or something like that, I just cannot go near that because it's just too much in like everywhere. It's too overwhelming for me. So I won't look at that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is kind of, it's all in my house all the time. I hear it a lot, but I am very much like that. I've never been one who wants to listen to anything mainstream by choice. And I always kind of was very proud, like as a teen and stuff, that I'd always like try to find the bands that weren't always played on the radio often, or that you have to kind of hunt for to find, or it's difficult to find a show or something. But, you know, as you get older, your music, I guess, changes, or you listen to the radio, or you find, you know, like it's, but yeah, I do try and, I don't know, I've never really wanted to listen to all the poppy things. My sister was very into more current stuff, so I'd get exposed to that as a teen. But yeah, I don't know, I just like, yeah, all the boy bands, like we mentioned a few of them. I never really was into that, just because I always felt like that was very cringy to me, just very like, I can never picture myself being one of those girls screaming, like just even how people were with the Beatles, like, ugh, gross. Yeah. Like I would never do that with anyone. And that's how people are with a lot of current musicians now too. It's just I don't know. I just never could picture myself running and screaming and passing out because I was so excited to see somebody. I mean, I think there are some musicians and artists I think are just really cool and just amazing, and I'd be really honored to meet them, but I would not pass out from seeing them.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I feel the same way. There's not too many, I think, that I am just like so overwhelmed by. I mean, I don't know. I thought that whole era of like boy bands, I was like, this is just artificial music. Like I very much was like, I don't get it. You know, like I really, but looking back, I'm like, oh, that was kind of fun. It was kind of a moment, you know, and
I mean, I did Nelly or whatever the hell their name was. Boy, you know, it's true.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do the whole song for you.
No, I know them very well. And I don't think, I mean, they weren't singing.
Well, they weren't singing it anyway. So whoever really was singing it, can you please step up?
Yeah. But I wonder why they never made it. But
I know. They should have just been like, all right, we are the real voice of Milli Vanilli.
I think maybe it was just like, that was the whole thing, was that it wouldn't have sold in the same way.
Yeah. Maybe they just, maybe they're just like two bald men. Because Milli Vanilli was known for their long hair and
like their dance moves. They just have like a charm about the two guys, the front runners. Yeah. But I mean, yeah. So now, I mean, how do you think that's changed for you now in terms of, you know, like with looking at music and how to, you know, regulate if you are feeling sad, or to kind of, you know, like before you would indulge in the sad music, has that changed?
It is different. I mean, I'm not, you know, finding Morrissey or the Smiths or anything like that when I'm super sad. I mean, I still like them, but I don't know. I think my outlook is a little different. And I, like Tanya said, to kind of still go towards the 80s or 90s. Like sometimes I will just be like, all right, find like some 90s hip hop, just because, come on, it's really hard to be sad listening to 90s hip hop. And there's nothing better than it. I mean, there is probably better music than it, but it's just, I don't know. I just really enjoy 90s hip hop just for like, and it's just hard to be upset with it. And I'll go to Indigo Girls. They're still really good for like when I'm feeling like kind of sad, but not super sad, but just kind of want to get out of my feelings a little bit. So I don't know. I think that type of music, or I don't know. But usually I'll just say, look for like 90s hip hop, I think.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah. I usually go back to like 80s hair bands because.
Oh, yeah.
Or like Def Leppard, Poison, Bon Jovi when they were kind of a hair band and stuff. Yeah. And like,
Those are good.
I mean, I really like those because they just give me kind of like a good memories of just like, oh, I just remember just liking that. That yeah. was just kind of, you know, what I was used to when I was younger.
And that's fun.
I don't know.
Yeah, that happened to me yesterday. I think I was telling you before we started, like we just started playing Motley Crue. And I was like, holy cow, I forgot how much I liked Motley Crue as a teenager and just listening to like Home Sweet Home and smoking in the boys' room and whatever. Like, you know, it just like, and just thinking Nikki Sixx was so cute. But like, but it just really, yeah, I don't know. It's weird how music can bring you back. Cause like we played, I was like, whoa. I remember being a teenager, middle schooler, and just loving them and just thinking they were the greatest.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. It was just kind of a time. I don't think there's been anything since as like in terms of hair bands. Like it was just a period, a moment in time that I don't think has been replicated since. You know, like there hasn't been that kind of come back around to hair bands or something kind of like that type of music. So it's something I tend to go back to a lot. I obviously, I like 90s and like early 2000s, like, you know, alternative or kind of like hip hop. And I love Eminem. I finally got into him when I was in college. And I like told myself, I was like, I'm not like, I thought he was kind of more like the, like, not to the same level, but kind of like Taylor Swift. He was just so popular. I was like, I don't want to look at him. I don't want to, I don't get it, you know, whatever. But I just, his album Recovery just hit at such a time when I just was like, yes, it matched my angst and my anger.
Yeah, that album was pretty impactful too. Cause I remember it was like, I remember, I don't know if we were in school, if we were still in our graduate program at that time.
Probably. Yeah. I think it was like 2008 or so or something like
that. So yeah, I just remember, that was a good album. I just remember a lot of the things about his mom too, his relationship with his mom, like kept showing up in all his songs too. It's like very, so that kind of brought me for sometimes it's like, okay, this is relatable, you know?
Yeah. And it kind of, you know, it was weird because that was the first time I felt like, oh, I can express anger through music. And I was like, I always thought like, oh, this is, I don't know, for some reason I had some view on that probably from just, I don't know, school, people, friends, family that I held that I thought like, oh, if you listen to like angry music, you're just, I don't know, indulging in it or something. Or I don't know. I had sort of something in there that when I started to listen to Eminem, I was like, this feels great. And I don't care. Whatever that
kind of cathartic. Did it feel cathartic for you? Just very like, okay, I could release this and. Feels
it was
good.
Just nice to like, you know, be like, oh, because I felt like people would, I don't know, I guess I thought people would judge and say like, I don't have the right to feel that angry or something. I don't know. It was some preconceived notion I held in my head and it just felt really good to say, oh, I am angry. And actually I can see why I am angry. Oh, and I'm human. So why wouldn't I be angry? Right. You know, like, everybody's angry. It was like a different form of expression and he just did it so well. And I was like, I get this. Mm-hmm. But yeah. And so I think it can definitely, music can shape and change along with your acceptance of yourself, of your identity, of your, you know, allowance of expression, you know, of like self-expression and who you are. I definitely felt that from high school to college and kind of feeling like, hey, this is a time where I can experiment with this and I can kind of look at these things, you know, that maybe I thought weren't okay to express or weren't okay to express in this way, or I feel weird expressing it. And I just was like, I don't care. Why should I have to, like, all of a sudden it was kind of like all these structures I held myself in. I was like, let me just see what this is for myself, not like for anyone else, and kind of let myself indulge in a lot of different things, you know? And I mean, I still just end up going back to the same things like 80s and 90s and then like maybe early 2000s. But I think I feel a better connection to it. Now that I know that, like, okay, this is why I'm listening to it, because I know myself better. I know my connection to it. I think maybe I don't connect to too much, like, kind of modern day music, or maybe I don't really explore it too much, you know? So I don't know.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think, do you think there's a block to not want to explore it? Or do you think that you feel more comfort from 80s, 90s, early 2000s?
I think it's more opportunity. I don't really, because I don't listen to the radio, like, and I think probably a lot of people don't anymore. I just listen to Spotify and I go to my preferences. Do you know what I mean? And I go to my comforts and I just don't really hear new music. Like I don't really seek out new music. I don't know. that's just not my thing. Like, I think I don't know. That never really was my thing to kind of seek that out. Like, if I hear something and then I'm like, I can become really obsessed with it and then start listening to that person,
but you know, about and, them. Yeah.
Yeah. And that can be kind of like modern day, you know, like stuff or whatever, stuff that's current, but it just, there's not really an opportunity as much anymore, at least for the way that I listen to music. Like, I just don't listen to the radio. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably how I used to listen to music, is I used to turn on the radio. You know, I had that boom box, kind of thing.
Stacey Kasem's Top 40.
Yes. Oh my God. I used to listen to that all the time. I used to like record it for the songs that I liked. And yeah, it's just not really, I don't know. It's not really a thing. It's only like if I discover it slowly. And I think I become overwhelmed by stuff that I'm like, I can't really sort it out. So I'll kind of just be like, okay, if I hear one thing, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go after that thing.
Yeah.
You know, like that one strand, that one like artist or that song, and kind of see what that's about. I'm very slow to take to new music, and I don't really know why. It's probably just maybe patterns from when I was younger, or just the opportunity, lack of opportunity.
No, it takes me a little bit. But sometimes if I'm like, oh, I like that artist, let me create a preference that so I can get more things like that person.
And I think that might be, you know, maybe that relates to a mental health kind of like, you know, vulnerability and openness that I, you know, maybe it's just not as easy to be as open to music right now for me anyways. Yeah. Like, I don't feel kind of this like trust.
It feels like there's more, it feels safer for you to stay with almost like the comfort level of whatever you felt and you liked in high school, or maybe a little bit after. Maybe it just makes you feel less anxious because you know what to expect.
Yeah. And I really have to like kind of feel, I don't know, I just have to feel like, cause it's, I feel the music very deeply. So when I do kind of invest in listening to it, I really want to know it's not going to like activate particular feelings or, you know, get me into a mood or a mode that I don't want to be into, because it definitely has that ability to affect me. So I have to really kind of investigate it, I think, and kind of approach it from the side. But there's not very much opportunity. And I don't think I really seek it out because it's kind of a process for me, I guess. It's kind of weird, but it's kind of a process because of how it affects my overall feelings, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, music has always been something I'm kind of like particular about letting in certain things. I don't know, it's weird.
Well, it's very impactful. I know, it's like it gets all of our senses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I just, there's so much now, like there's so many artists that I'm just like, I have no idea who they are and I don't care to know who they are. And I don't know. And sometimes every once in a while I'll look and I'll be like, oh, actually that person can really sing, or like, oh, I really like the music they write or that they sing. And then I really like them. You know, that's kind of how I cling on to them. But then it's like, by that point, they're like not as relevant anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I'm fine. I still find a few female artists that I'd like that might be new, might be just a few years old. I tend to gravitate towards some of those as ones that I'll let in. And then, I like to find new artists every once in a while. Yeah, mostly I stick with the tried and true.
What do you think you search for when you look for like new music?
Sometimes like when what happens is like when I work out, like when I do the Peloton, I get a lot of music because they play music throughout the whole workout, like through the whole ride. So a lot of times I'll be like, oh, I like that song. So then after the ride, if it has a good playlist, I'll go back and be like, start searching that artist and then see what else pops up. So I think that's how I recently found out, like I didn't know who Lana Del Rey was before recently. And I was like, oh my God, she's awesome. She's amazing.
I like her. I like her too.
And, you know, there's been a few other people that I was like, oh, I really like this song. Let me just see what else they play. So that's one way that I've been doing it. Is I've been having the instructors do the work for me. And then I take the ride on Peloton and then I find it. Or
that's a good way to do it, though.
Yeah. Or I'll just, you know, search, you know, popular music on, you know, whatever I'm listening on. And sometimes it's a hit or miss. And then sometimes I might be like, okay, who's that? You know, like if it's someone I haven't heard. But sometimes, you know, sometimes it's a miss. And then I'll be like, all right, go back to what I like. Go back to my favorites. Just
Yeah, yeah. Kind of had to like incorporate it sort of in the process.
But yeah, but I don't know. I was telling you before, like I always feel like I've always been like 30 years behind. Because even when I was in high school and middle school, I was listening to Janis Joplin and The Doors. And, you know, like I was obsessed with The Doors, obsessed with Janis Joplin. And then I was like obsessed with The Supremes and obsessed with disco. And like while I was in high school. And then of course, you know, then current stuff. But then like The Clash, they weren't very current then, you know, like, so I've always been like decades or decades behind. I don't know. It just, I try to be exposed to all different decades, even now too. I think it's important. I think as far as our emotions and being well-rounded, I think it is important to understand the history of music, what's going on. But also I think there's really good stuff to have, like, you know, maybe you feel like Frank Sinatra. I mean, sometimes I do. And sometimes you don't want to hear something current. And sometimes when I'm feeling kind of sad, I will listen to some Italian opera type of music.
Yeah, but, yeah. You have a very, you know, kind of diverse selection that you go to.
Yeah, and it is. And it's, yeah, but I do. I try to not go to what I used when I was in high school now for when I'm sad, though.
Yeah.
To answer
Yeah. And that's kind of, I think that's the growth that we do have as we start to realize there's so many different ranges that we can, you know, go to. And also there's things outside of music, right? I mean, we're focusing on music today. So that's why we're talking about it. But, you know, there's, yeah. And I actually, you know, to say, you know, where you get like music from, I actually realized, as you were saying, from the Peloton, I get mine. I will explore new music from like series or shows. Like when they have amazing music, I'll be like,
yeah,
I'll look it up and I'll be like, oh my God. Like do find some people.
That
from
is
that.
So true. Grey's Anatomy is going to be coming back on, but I've gotten so many songs from Grey's Anatomy that I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that one, or like certain movies, or that's so true. I do that a lot where I'm like, wow, that's a really good soundtrack.
Yeah. I definitely will discover like a couple of people and then I'll listen to them and be like, oh, is this something that I can kind of like keep and maybe keep going back to, or, you know. I tend to look for artists, I think, that have like, you know, because I like meaningful things. I like things that are kind of put in a very meaningful yet unique way. Like I write a lot. I try to write poems and stuff like that. So I think I kind of tend to look for that kind of feeling, you know, of like, oh, they're expressing something really deep and meaningful.
Yeah.
But it could be in a very like unique way, you know, it doesn't have to be like it's sad, or, you know, it can be just said in a way that I really can appreciate.
That you can see it too. That's really nice too, when it's so visual or their words are so impactful that you can actually see or picture or feel what they, what they're saying.
Yeah. And you can also get some of their experience from that. Like you can see it through their eyes. And
that's,
to me, is something I've always been drawn to. That's probably the personal, like, kind of vulnerability and like trust in it, is like, I need to know that like I can kind of get that perspective from it. But that's just my own point of view. But yeah, I definitely, you know, I think I will tend to go towards things that are more like, you know, if I'm feeling really sad, I will absolutely stay away from like Sarah McLachlan. Like I can't even listen to her anymore because of how much I listened to her in high school and college and just was sad and like indulged in it. Even though she has a great voice, I just can't. Mm-hmm. And kind of the same for Tori Amos.
Yeah.
Pretty bad.
Oh yeah. I listened to that CD and tape a lot.
Yeah. So that's I think we grow and we learn how to, you know, this is maybe not the best way to regulate my mood, but you know, or how I'm feeling, but I do understand that there's, you know, other ways that I can, you know, talk through this, or I can maybe kind of inspire myself to think about something else through music. And that's really, I think, what we wanted to kind of impress upon, you know, and just kind of have a little chat about today, is the differences in music and how that can affect your mental health, how you grow in it.
Yeah. And it's just, it's really, I don't know, it just seems like music is very, I feel like music is very important for people to, I think it helps them. I think it's helps some people who aren't able to have the words or the voice, so they could hear an artist or hear someone else say it, so they don't feel so alone, whether it's in a happy time or a sad time. But you don't, you know, but maybe don't embrace yourself with all the heaviness when you're in a very dark place. because sometimes it feels good for a little bit just because it feels like, okay, this feels familiar, but maybe switch it up a little.
Yeah, because certainly you can still feel validated in some things, but have it expressed maybe in a different way. And it actually is a good coping skill to be able to do that. So you know, to kind of look at and to say, hey, maybe I need actually some of this instead of that. And that really kind of helps you to grow a lot. But yeah, so I mean, we would love to hear any music that you like or what your thoughts are between, you know, your mental state and music, or, you know, how your mood is with music, what you see as correlations, or just the type of music you're listening to, just because. So let us know right in the comments. And
the soundtrack to your life, right? Is that?
Ooh, that's a good question. What would be the soundtrack to your life?
I don't know.
If anyone knows that, you for sure write that down there. If you feel comfortable with that, that would be great.
I don't know. I mean, what song are you drawn to? Yeah, because I was just thinking, like, what song? I've always, like, Ripple by Grateful Dead is always one that I go to when I'm, like, feeling sad. That one tends to make me sad. But it's a good song. It's a great song.
It's different at different points. You know, you may feel at different phases in your life. I think you may be.
Maybe you just want Whoop, There It Is, right?
Right. Exactly. But, you know, let us know if you have any comments and any suggestions for future episodes.
Yeah.
We're always looking for that and love that. But don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Wicked Psychotherapists. Subscribe, follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. We're everywhere. And write us a review. It helps us out a lot.
Please. It does. Please make those algorithms work for us. Yes. 5 stars.
And don't forget, stay wicked.
And keep your mind well.
Yes, do that. All right, guys. We'll see you. We'll see you next week.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you.